Hello, it's Adrian Salbucci again from Argentina. Many of you have already seen my videos, especially the ones on the world government, the coming world government, and I've received many emails and much correspondence from many of you, for which I thank you. And I thought it would be a good idea to start a new series of videos, which I'm going to call We the People, the Insurgency. Because in the weeks and the months to come, the United States, Europe, Argentina, we are going to see many dramatic things happening, and most of them will not be in our benefit. We live in a war system. There was a report that was issued back in 1967 under the presidency of Lyndon B. Johnson, which was called the Iron Mountain Report, which reached the conclusion that the worst thing that could happen to the United States and its national security were if world peace were to come about. Literally, it said, if lasting peace could be achieved, it would almost certainly not be in the best interest of society to achieve it. Because they said, war is an essential part of the system. War is an essential part of the economy. We have destructive capitalism. We need to destroy things physically so that capitalism can bring them back together, can build them up again. They actually said that the war system is like a flywheel. It's a counterbalance. They call war the great social stabilizer. It gives cohesion to the state because a sovereign state's ability to exert its authority over the people is directly proportional with the perceived or real threat upon the nation, whether from abroad or from inside or from above or from below. The United States needs a credible, proportional, threatening enemy. They went so far as to even say that a peril from the sky, Martians invading, and you may remember Ronald Reagan also mentioned that some years back, would also be a credible enemy as long as it is perceived to be real. Because you see, the way things are today, we don't know whether the Iron Mountain Report was genuine or not. And like the protocols of the Elders of Zion, we have no way of proving whether they are genuine or not. And that's not even important. The important thing is that they are truthful, that they are coming about as we look back the decades after decades. You see, mankind yearns for peace, but the people running the New World Order do not yearn for peace. The politicians, the bankers, they do not want peace. So if mankind wants peace, that's just not enough. Carl Schmitt, the German philosopher, used to say that every discipline has its rationale. For example, the economy distinguishes between that which is profitable and that which is not profitable. Morals distinguishes between that which is good and that which is evil. And politics distinguishes between friend and foe. And you don't necessarily have to like your political friend, nor hate your political foe. The important thing is that you identify those who have common interests and objectives with you, and those which don't. The British say it brilliantly, England has no permanent friends, only permanent interests. And they should know, they are an almost 500-year empire. And if you look at the economy nowadays, it operates as a gigantic war effort, where big is good, where mergers, acquisitions, firepower imposed the will of the large corporation over all parts of the economy. You listen to the phrases they use. We conquer markets. We destroy competition. We make hostile takeovers. We have strategic planning in our business. The strategos is the ancient Greek word for the war general. And strategic planning uses tactics, which is the art of organizing an army, the techniques for using weaponry, military units, to engage and defeat an enemy in battle. Not a physical battle, but a battle for markets, a battle for segments and so forth. You see, today, we the people are at war. A war is being waged against us on many fronts, and we do not seem to realize it. A war is being waged against we the people on the political, the economic, the financial, the cultural, the technological, the social, the media fronts. But above all, a psychological war is being waged against us. Psy war, psychological war, as Saddam Hussein would say if he were still around, poor guy. Psy war is the mother of all wars. And psy war is a war for your mind. It goes through education and programming, which for thousands of years, prime education was a question of the family. Your main educational vehicle was your own family. Then in the 19th, 20th century, that was replaced by the state. The prime educator was the state. And today, the prime educator is not even the state. It is the media, it's television, it's radio, it's the press, it's advertising, it's internet generating lifestyles, arbitrary lifestyles. So listen, the first rule of Psy War, the ancient philosopher Sun Tzu used to say this, the first rule of Psy War is to get the enemy, we the people, because from their point of view, we are the enemy, to get the enemy to believe that there is no war. Because if your enemy feels that there is no war, he won't even fire a shot to defend yourself, to defend themselves. And what better than to win a war without even firing a shot? If you think that you are not at war, you do not defend yourselves. Keep that in mind. The second rule of Psy War is to make us believe that they, the people who own the New World Order, are much stronger than they really are, and that we, the people, are much weaker than we really are. Okay, they're strong. Okay, we're weak. But the gap is not that big. The third rule of Psy War is to hide the truth, to cover up, to make the truth invisible, to generate smoke screens, to distort, to lie, to confuse, to falsify, to revert, divert, and pervert the truth. To falsify history. George Orwell, in his brilliant novel 1984, once said, "He who controls the past controls the present. He who controls the present controls the future." That's why it's so important for them to falsify our view of our own history, whether it be our nation's history in each country that we're in, or global history. And the fourth rule of Psy War is that there are always two sides to every war and to every battle. And what I'm talking about today is that the two sides are them, who are a small, compact, powerful, well-organized minority, and I stress minority, wielding tremendous clout, tremendous leverage, and tremendous power on the one side. And on the other side, it's we the people, the vast majority. We are too busy to think. We are undereducated. We are too caught up in our day-to-day lives, those little slices of reality, to understand, to organize, to even become aware. We are potentially powerful, but we are in total disarray. They are potentially weak because they are small in numbers, but today they are very well organized. So let's first see what we cannot do yet. We cannot meet them on their terms. They are too vast and too powerful. We who start to awaken are still but a small portion of we the people. We easily succumb to their tactics. We are systematically silenced by their media, which controls the minds of people. If we break, as some of us do, the cone of silence, we are met with scorn. We are met with name-calling. They automatically brand us as conspiracy theorists, anti-Semites, nationalists, traditionalists, paranoids, and if necessary, they will even exert violence against us. It will be very difficult for us to erect a power structure like they have. They have the money, they have the media, they have the organizations. That's not going to be the way. Besides, there's no time. They own, and when I say they, I mean the people from the New World Order, they own and control almost the entire physical world. But they have grown fat, corrupt, dark, and weary. Time is not on their side, and they know it, which explains why they are in such a hysterical rush. We the people, in turn, control very little of the physical world, but our growing spiritual power puts time on our side. Remember that, please. Their power base is money, usury, speculation, parasitic behavior. They are vultures. They are blood-sucking vampires. They are like Dracula. Our power base is different. We have the warrior's passion. We have spirit. We have strength and honor. We are eagles. We are heroes. We don't inspire ourselves in Dracula. We think of Jason. We think of Parsifal. We think of the true heroes of mankind. What can we do, and what can we do now? First of all, think with our own minds, not with theirs. We have to awaken and understand what is happening. And when we do, we have to awaken others. And when they do, we have to plan and organize collectively. Aside from planning and organizing each of our own individual lives, because we are all in different circumstances. We have to understand their tactics. Globalization, for example, which they imposed upon the world for 20 years. If we compare globalization to a balloon, which is global, I would say that the most overblown balloon can be easily made to burst if you use the microscopic tip of a pin. So let us all become those microscopic pins that will make their globalization balloon burst. And we have to make it burst before they have time to impose world government on us.